It's not about a bunny, because no bunny loves you like Jesus loves you. We're going to look at the Lamb of God this morning, and He is the one that came to take away the sins of the world. And if you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We're going to get right into God's Word. Keep your hand up, and you can follow along with us. Luke chapter 24. The good news of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your precious son. Thank you, Lord, to be absent from this body for those of us who believe is to be present with the Lord. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more sin, no more death, no more grave. The list is endless of the things that you have delivered us from, Lord. And so this morning, as we celebrate the greatest day in the history of mankind, with open Bibles and open hearts and open ears, I pray that you would speak to us. To many of us, it's a familiar story, but that's okay. We need to be reminded of the incredible price that was paid for us to be saved. And for those that are new to the story, Lord, reveal yourself to them, your truth, your word, which is life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Have your way this morning as we look into this incredible chapter, Luke chapter 24. In Jesus' name, amen. As we all know, this morning is Resurrection Day. As I shared Friday, our precious friends upstairs, our Jewish friends, wished me a happy Easter the other day. I said, we don't celebrate Easter. I said, we celebrate Passover. We don't want to pass over the Passover. I said, it's not about a bunny, it's about a lamb. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. That always shocks them. I do the same thing at Christmas time. Merry Christmas. We go, no, we celebrate the Advent, the coming of Jesus Christ. He didn't come in a sleigh in a red suit. He came born of a virgin in Bethlehem as the Savior of the world. You see how important God's word is, that we know the truth? Before I knew the Lord, I used to celebrate all these holidays. I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit then. I was filled with distilled spirits, unfortunately. Praise be to God, I know the true meaning now, and so do you as well. And we can celebrate Resurrection Day in the proper way. Isn't God incredible? Friday night, I shared out of the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel, of course, means good news. Matthew was a Jew writing to the Jews about their Jewish king. And wouldn't you know, to eliminate even more doubt and excuses, we have a doctor writing this morning about the resurrection. At this point, Jesus Christ is dead. It's the third day. And we're going to see Dr. Luke's account. He's called the beloved physician. He closed chapter 23. And when he did, he could have very well been called Luke the coroner. Death certificate. I shared that Friday night. The good news here this morning, he's going to take the death certificate and he's going to rip it up, because Jesus Christ is alive. He defeated sin and death. The tomb is empty. I've stuck my bald head in that tomb 5 times. I've seen it's empty. Nobody home. It was just a timeshare. And there are many, many scripture verses in God's word that point to exactly what was going to take place. Jesus rebuked the religious leaders of his time by saying, "Have you not read?" And I think that's important for us as Christians today, to know the story, to read it, to meditate upon it, to hide God's word in our heart. And it was confirmed in chapter 23 that Jesus, God's son, the Messiah, the King of Israel, was dead. And I find that hard to even comprehend, hard to even grasp, that eternal God the Son was dead. Darkness came over the earth for 3 hours. You'd think that would have freaked everybody out. But they were still as wicked as they were when the sun came back out. Jesus had cried out, "Father, in your hands I commit my spirit," and he breathed his last. It's really hard to comprehend that Jesus, Son of God, creator of heaven and earth, from everlasting to everlasting with the Father, was dead. We have the coroner's report in all four of the Gospels. But this coroner's report is only temporal. It will only last for 3 days. And here we are, the first day of the week, the third day. And we're going to see what Dr. Luke has to write now as we look at the first section. Jesus had breathed his last. He had told his disciples on six occasions, a minimal of six occasions, exactly what was going to happen. He would suffer and die, and on the third day he would rise again. But it went right over their religious heads. They didn't get it. The very heart of Christianity is the resurrection. It affirms that he is the Son of God. It proves that his sacrifice for our sin is accepted. It proves that the work of salvation is complete. That's why Jesus said it is finished. No balance due. If you're a believer, all of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, cast as far as the east is from the west, in the deepest part of the sea, and God remembers your sin no more. I know Satan's always trying to throw it up in our minds, remind us of where we've been and what we've done. When he reminds me of my past, I just remind him of his future. So those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are forgiven, we have eternal life, and we can walk in the newness of life. No matter what your physical body is like, when God gives you a new heart, everything changes, doesn't it? It's an inside job. Religion is an outward thing. It doesn't matter. Relationship is an inward thing, where we are born again and sealed for the day of redemption by the person of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning we have living proof that all this is true through the many witnesses we're going to see here this morning of Jesus after his resurrection. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about all of those that had seen the risen Christ. More than 500 witnessed his resurrected body. And so this morning Dr. Luke is going to testify of the risen Savior in many appearances here in chapter 24. As well as Acts chapter 1. Do you know that Dr. Luke is also the author of Acts chapter 1? And he writes about the resurrection and the ascension into heaven. So let's look at Dr. Luke's account as the death certificate is now null and void. Now on the very first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, the angel said to the ladies, I love this. I told Tina, if I kick before you do, I want this on my gravestone. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Nobody home, folks. Isn't that a great verse? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. So he reminds the ladies here, even in what Jesus had told his disciples on six other occasions, he must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. and their words seemed to be like idle tales. Isn't that sad? And they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. And so here's the first part of Dr. Luke's account. Notice in verse 1, on the very first day of the week, which is Sunday, Jesus said that he would rise on the third day, which is Sunday, very early in the morning. You know, it's always good, even as a believer these days, to arise early in the morning and seek the Lord in our devotionals, in God's Word, in Scripture. Not only that, it's also important, I believe, to seek the Lord early in life. How many of us have regrets because we didn't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a young person, as a child? That's one of my biggest regrets. I wasted 33 years of my life getting wasted. How sad. And you know what? I just rejoice when I see young people come to Jesus, when I see young people carrying Bibles, when I see young people walking with the Lord. And so the best time to seek the Lord is early. It's always a good time to come to the Lord early. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. The other Gospels tell us that there was a great earthquake and the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. One of the amazing things about these ladies, they were committed. They were the last ones at the cross. Where were the disciples? They split. The ladies were the last at the cross, and they are the first at the tomb. Because as we left Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, it says they noticed, or they looked where the Lord was left. They observed where he was laid, chapter 23, verse 55. Notice as well, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. And behold, two men, two angels, stood by them in shining garments. Deuteronomy 19:15 says a matter will be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And here's a confirmation. God has two angels here to confirm he's not there. He is risen. Praise the Lord. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And that's a good question. Jesus had told them as well what was going to happen, that he was going to rise on the third day, and they missed it as well. That's why we need to continually spend time in God's Word as believers today. We have all 66 books of God's inspired Word. It's God-breathed, the Scriptures that we have in our laps here this morning. And it's so important to be reminded of these things. We can forget. We're forgetful, aren't we, at times? That's why we're going to do communion again this morning, because Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He knows we forget. And there have been times on Sunday morning I forgot to do communion. I went to walk off the podium, and that shows how forgetful we can be at times. Notice, the Son of Man must be delivered, he said, into the hand of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now you would think, since they were reminded when the angels told the ladies, that when the ladies told the disciples, that they would go, "Oh yeah, I remember now." But these guys were so filled with pride, I shared this the other day as well, that when Jesus told them that he would be, you know, delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified and on the third day rise again, you know what they were doing? They were arguing over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, they weren't even listening to what he had to say. They were more concerned with self. And I think that's one of the most difficult things in this life here today. Every day we battle self. Self-esteem. Selfishness. It's all about me. The world's philosophy is self, isn't it? What did Jesus say we're to do with ourselves? Deny yourself annually? No, daily. Pick up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. And that's what we're to do. And it was Mary Magdalene. Johanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them. Mary Magdalene was the one who was filled with seven demons. And Jesus Christ cast seven demons out of Mary Magdalene, and she became one of the most committed followers of Christ in this particular time. She was not only last at the cross, but she was first at the tomb. She loved him. She adored him. He had set her free from seven demons. Can you imagine? God still works that way today. God still sets the captives free, doesn't he? There's testimony after testimony just in this room here of the incredible things that God has done. Drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, perversion of all sorts. I could tell you some stories, but I'm not going to. Because we're going to talk about Jesus here this morning, but there you guys have some incredible testimonies of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. It was sin, and the wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ came to break those chains of sin and set us free and give us life and life more abundantly. And their words seemed to them, this is so sad, to the apostles, like idle tales. You know what the original language is there? Nonsense. Can you believe that? I can, and you know why? Because there's a lot of people today that think this is nonsense. That it doesn't make sense. This is the most incredible book on the planet. Every cross T, every dotted I is God-breathed. It's given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These are the words of eternal life. Yet the world out there thinks it's nonsense. They're the ones that have nonsense. Unfortunately, our nation and the world has pretty much replaced common sense with nonsense. Look at the things people are approving of today that God despises. We need the truth to set us free. Don't you love Peter? And again, here's another example of the grace of God. Not only Mary Magdalene, but Peter. He denied the Lord three times. And the rooster crowed, and he went out and wept bitterly. He denied his Lord and Savior. And Peter was the proud one that said, Lord, you can count on me. And when Malchus showed up, Peter pulled out a sword and cut his ear off. Kind of eerie. Jesus reached down, picked up his ear, and put it back on. Isn't that just like the Lord today? We cut ears off, and he reaches down and puts them back on. Sometimes we use the sword of God's word to hack people up rather than to... And what does he do? When he hears, he arises and runs to the tomb. And he stoops down and he sees the linen cloth. Notice, it's plural. There was a handkerchief, Scripture says, it covered his face, and there was also a linen garment that covered his body. About the Shroud of Turin? Not it. This is two pieces. The Shroud of Turin is one piece. Isn't it amazing the things that people worship today? Piece of cloth. You know, even when you go to Israel, there's some places there that just sadden my heart. In the city of Jerusalem, they have a spot someone marked with tile where Jesus ascended into heaven. And we're going to see in a moment that it wasn't in Jerusalem. It was in Bethany. On the way to Bethany, he ascended into heaven. And it's crazy what people do. They also have a spot marked where the manger was. And it wasn't in Jerusalem. It was in the shepherd's field in Bethlehem. So that's why it's important to read the scriptures, folks. And here's Peter. He rose and ran to the tomb, stooping down. And he saw these cloths lying by themselves. He departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. The other gospel, we have pride again with the disciples. In John's gospel, he tells everybody he outran Peter to the tomb. John went with him too. So that's really something we really needed to know, right? Now behold, two of them. Two disciples, these aren't apostles, two disciples, were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. I Googled how many minutes it takes for a person to walk a mile. Anywhere between 15 to 21 minutes. And so 7 miles came out to 2 hours and 20 minutes or so, give or take a few minutes. So why am I sharing that is because they have an unexpected guest show up that's going to walk along with them for 2 hours and 20 minutes minimal. Watch this. I love this story. And as they talk together of all these things which happened. And so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Here they are talking about Jesus, and guess who shows up? You know what? Doesn't Jesus always show up when we talk about him? Absolutely incredible. He still does today. But their eyes were restrained, and they did not know him. We don't know exactly from the gospel writer, Dr. Luke, why or how their eyes were restrained, but they didn't recognize him. Could have had a hoodie on or whatever, who knows. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And again, it shouldn't be this way, right? If they had listened to what Jesus had to say, they would know that he has risen. He's alive. As a matter of fact, he's closer than they even know. He's right there. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, this is so funny. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days? They're just talking to the one that was brutally beaten, marred more than any man, his beard ripped out of his face and spit all over him and nailed to a cross and breathed his last. And they're asking him, hey, don't you know what happened? I think if there's anybody that really knew what happened, it's right here, Jesus himself. But look at what he does here in verse 19. And he said to them, what things? It's not that he didn't know. He's drawing things out of them. What things? And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of an angel who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. How much proof do these guys need? You know, how sad it is that there they were, sad, walking 7 miles back to Emmaus with no hope. And that's what happens with people without hope. They're sad. You know why we have so many sad people, so many depressed and distressed people in this world? Is because they have no hope. And isn't it incredible, nothing short of incredible, when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter what is going on in your life, you have that hope. You have the peace that surpasses all understanding because of him who lives in you, because we know the rest of the story. It doesn't all end here. We know that he's going to see us through every step of the way. He's acquainted with our grief, with our sorrow, everything that we can face. And isn't it wonderful to know that he's with us? But these poor guys, sad, walking along the road, no hope, hopeless. Then he, Jesus, said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to what? Believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And again, Jesus told the religious leaders, have you not read? And oftentimes, with people who go to church, I'll ask them the same question. Have you not read? And not in a sarcastic or a condemning way, but I ask them, do you read the Bible in your church? Do you go through God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept? Have you not read? And do you know when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, at that point he had fulfilled over 330 prophecies about himself. All that we're seeing here. You know, his virgin birth, where he would be born, how he would be born, how he would live for 33 years on this planet, making the lame to walk, hello, and the blind to see, hello, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, multiplying fishes and loaves, all that he did during his ministry here on earth, and people still didn't believe. Slow of heart. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, this is a verse that's absolutely incredible. Matter of fact, I woke up in the middle of the night last night just pondering this verse. Look what he says, of what it says, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Can you even imagine what that must have been like? And you know, as I'm laying there last night pondering a 2 hour and 20 minute Bible study, walking 7 miles to Emmaus, covering all of these things, the five books of Moses and the prophets and all, I'm thinking, Lord, I would love to have the notes or the CDs or a copy of what you said. And you know what? The still small voice said back to me, you do. Right here. What did he do? Exactly what every pastor in this country and in this world needs to do. We need to preach the word. We need to quit getting cute. It's not all about fame. It's about faith, period. God has not called us to be famous. He's called us to be faithful. And the best way that we can be faithful to him is to give his people God's word. Imagine, five books of Moses right off the bat. He's right there, hidden in plain sight in the Old Testament. I say that all the time. Even the story of Abraham, when he was told to take his son, his only son, up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him, that's a foreshadow of things to come. Yeah, take your son, your only son. Hello. And as Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, God stopped him. And you know what he went on to say? God will provide himself a sacrifice. Hello. And guess what? Mount Moriah is exactly the spot where Jesus Christ was crucified. Over and over and over, we have scriptures in the Old Testament. We have prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled. I shared some of them Friday night. Zechariah 9:9, Zechariah 11, Psalm 22, which 750 years before crucifixion, blow-by-blow description of Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross. Absolutely incredible, but people still miss it today. It still goes right over their heads. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. You tell me, is that important? It was to Jesus. And he got it all in about 2 hours and 20 minutes in a 7 mile walk. Man, I would love to have been there. But like I said, here, we got it right before us. Everything that he expounded on is right here. And let me say this. There were over 330 prophecies that Christ fulfilled in the Old Testament when he went into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass. And you know what? There are still prophecies right now that are going to be fulfilled. Just as the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled, so are the New Testament prophecies fulfilled. And the prophecies that are about ready to be fulfilled is the return of Jesus Christ for his church. One of the things that will happen just before his return, before the trump of God sounds, is there will be a third temple in Jerusalem. I've shared this a number of times. And guess what? They are talking right now about rebuilding the third temple in Jerusalem. And you know the rest of that story. We just happened to be in Revelation on Sunday. And all of these incredible prophecies that could not have been fulfilled then are just ready to happen. Ready to happen any day now. There's going to be two prophets, we covered this a couple of weeks ago, that will be killed in Jerusalem. And it says the whole world will witness it. Guess what? I don't believe there was ever a time in history where the whole world could witness that. And now, I guarantee you, almost everybody in this room has a cell phone and a laptop. and a TV. And the whole world now can see those two witnesses that will be murdered in Jerusalem. And also they will be raised from the dead. So how close are we? Look at the Antichrist system that we have in the world today. Again, on Facebook the other day, someone actually posted the chip that they're going to put under your skin as the mark of the beast, 666. How close are we? And you won't be able to buy or sell without that mark. Folks, we're ready. We're ready like never before. And so he expounded through all the scriptures, and that's why here we teach God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because it says these things concerning himself. This whole book points to Jesus Christ, and especially his return. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. You know me, I'm always trying to read between the lines. This is my own personal opinion. I just really believe that when he broke that bread, the sleeves came back on his robe, and they probably saw the nail prints. And their eyes were opened. And they finally realized and recognized who it was on that road that gave them such a great Bible study. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. And because he's in his glorified body, guess what? He disappeared. He vanished. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" We're not talking about Tums here, folks. Not that kind of heartburn. It is amazing, isn't it, how God's word resonates and has this burning in our heart. That's why we say being on fire for the Lord, because God's word fires us up. And they didn't have heartburn because of what they ate. They had burning hearts because he opened the scriptures to them. And I would hope that everyone here in this room this morning has a burning heart, a burning passion for Jesus Christ. So, so important. To put away the Easter baskets and the eggs and the Cadbury eggs and those marshmallow peeps. I just want to tell you, peeps, it's all about Jesus and him alone. That wasn't in my notes. Their hearts burned. He talked about the scriptures. And it's so important. We need God's word today like never before. Do you know they're in the process of banning the Bible in Canada? Yeah. I have a pastor friend that got arrested 3 weeks ago for preaching the gospel in Canada. I have another pastor friend, had a church there for 24 years and they shut it down. You know, that could very well happen here in the United States of America. And they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon," who is also Peter. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Guess what? These guys that were sad are now fired up. Why? Because of the revelation of Jesus Christ to them and because of the Holy Scriptures. Man, look at them. They're evangelists now. And now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." Modern translation, "Shalom, homie." Peace. One would expect with the disciple, the apostles who ran when he was being crucified, who split and left him alone, you would think that there would be a rebuke here for them. But look what he says, "Peace to you, shalom." And you know what? How sad it is that in many places an angry God is being preached. You know what? We know a God and serve a God and worship the God of peace. God is love, the Bible says. Yes, he will judge sin one day. He will go from being the lamb to being the lion. We know the rest of the story. Yes, global warming is coming. But I think, as we see here, that when we're steeped in our sin and when we're, these guys were backslidden, and when we drift away from God, he wants to give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. But they were terrified and frightened, and suppose they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That is, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. I often wonder if we're going to, in heaven, see his hands and his feet. Scripture doesn't clearly say that, but I just have to wonder if when we see him face to face and when he embraces us, that he won't wrap his nail-scarred hands around us as he embraces us. He said, showed him his hands and his feet. Why? Because of you and I. The very reason he has nail prints in his wrists, his hands, and on his feet is because he went all the way to the cross for you, individually, personally, and for me, to pay the price we could never pay. Imagine that. The Bible also says, as I mentioned Friday night, the word says that your name is inscribed on his hands if you're a believer. And your name is inscribed upon his heart. He loves you that much. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And we're talking Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah. We're talking the book of Genesis, Psalm 22, 23, 24, just to name a few places in Scripture where all these things are fulfilled, all of these things that he fulfilled. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's how we're saved, folks. Repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's within your grasp if you turn. It's a military term, repent is. It means to do an about face. Repent and repentance and remission of sins should be preached. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Jesus Christ came into this world to die on the cross so that we might be forgiven for all of our sins. That's the gospel. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from above. And that's going to happen. Dr. Luke is actually going to write about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1. Isn't it amazing that God would use the beloved physician to not only teach about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also a doctor that's teaching about the filling of the Holy Spirit? How many doctors preach those things today? It's sad. You would think that someone who studied the human body, as doctors and nurses do today, that there would be more believers in the world today. The very tent that you're in, the very body that you and I are in, is absolutely incredible. The design, the divine design that God has given us. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that we were created as a reflection of him. We were created in his image. both male and female. Hello. And look what we've done in our world today. Look what we've done in our country today when it comes to gender, when it comes to the body, when it comes to the resurrection. How sad it is, there are many people that don't believe. And he led them out as far as Bethany. Remember what I said? And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. In the book of Acts, there were angels standing there, and they said to the people, you see him, Jesus, who just ascended into heaven? He is coming back the same way. Two or three witnesses again. Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? He's coming back. And one day we shall see him face to face. And he's either going to be your Lord and your Savior, or he's going to be your judge. And so it says, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. An amazing thing happens when we repent. An amazing thing happens when we receive God's Son as our personal Lord and Savior. An amazing thing happens when we're forgiven for all of our sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. There is great joy in our hearts, isn't there? There's no greater feeling than to be forgiven. And we're not talking physically, we're talking spiritually. To know that we are forgiven for all of our sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. And that's why we worship him. That's why we thank him. That's why we have great joy in our hearts. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is not. The world can be happy, but the world cannot have joy. Why? Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and joy only comes from being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can have joy in any circumstance. Recently, we went through a situation where our son had an infection in his leg. It was a real test. It broke me. It busted me. But at the same time, I had joy because I knew that the Lord was in full control of the situation. And guess what? He's sitting here this morning with a healed leg. God took us through it. And God took a scripture verse that I have known for years. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And it finally came to life. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I had to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And you know what it means not to lean on your own understanding? Get rid of the stinking thinking. Get rid of the negative thought. We always think the worst case scenario, don't we? But you know what? When you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, no matter what's going on in your life, you can have the peace and the joy that surpasses all understanding. And that's so true, isn't it? You ever been in a situation like that? You don't understand it, but you got it. I got joy. I got peace. And my world is caving in. But at the same time, God uses all things to work together for good for those who love him. And he can even take the tests of life, and he can bring forth things that you would never have experienced before. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. That's why we're sitting here this morning. That's why we have great joy. That's why we're worshiping and praising him here in his church, because of what he has done for you and for me. He is risen, isn't he? He's alive, and Jesus Christ is coming back again. As we close, I would like to give you the opportunity to receive his greatest gift on the greatest day in human history. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and you would like to be saved today and filled with the Holy Spirit and have eternal life through him, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close and invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Today is the day of salvation. Anyone? If you'd like to pray to receive the Lord, please stand quickly. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the confirmation through the beloved physician who tore up the coroner's report. You are alive, Lord, and we thank you for that. So is your word, alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we thank you for your precious word this morning as a reminder of the greatest day in the history of mankind when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father right now, and he is coming again very soon. So help us, Lord, all to be ready, to be found about your business, to be walking in purity and in the newness of life. Help us to be filled with your joy and your peace and your love, especially for those outside of the church that don't know you. May we love them and minister to them with the same love that you've given to us. And so this morning, as we partake of the cup and the bread, again, we are reminded of your body that was broken for us and your precious blood that was shed for us because of your great love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment just in the quietness of your heart.